Welcome to the Sounders FC Postmatch Show on Sports Radio 950 KJR. Sounders FC Soccer is brought to you by Zulily, partnering with local youth organizations to present the Zulily Dream Team. The Sounders FC Postmatch Show starts now.
Final score here from Lumen Field, Seattle Sounders 2, Vancouver Whitecaps 2. Seattle moves to 7-0-4. They stay unbeaten through their first 11 games here in Major League Soccer play. Record, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, is 12, so they're one away from that. But for tonight's match, Sounders were leading 1-0 at half. The game ends 2-2 in a wild second half. Jackson Feltz, Danny Jackson, and Wade Weber here to break it all down. And Danny, I think the prevailing thought is a lot of people is try as they might, and the Sounders tried over and over and over in that final 20 or so minutes after Madronda equalized. Sounders just couldn't get that winner, and it ends 2-2.
Yeah, a little bit too little too late, unfortunately, for the Sounders. You know, when they got going, it was when they were 2-1 down. They changed formation, went back to kind of our usual 4-2-3-1. I think it added a couple more guys into the attack. It put Christian Roldan on the right-hand side. I think Madronda did a nice job again, like he did midweek against RSL. Came on, got a goal, looked dangerous, some quality in the left foot. And then put, you know, Freddie Montero in that number 10 role. And I think things opened up. There was good pressure. But, you know, in the end of the day, you got to give great credit to Vancouver as well. You know, the first half was sloppy. We talked about it at halftime. Just hadn't got going. The guys need a bit of a shake-up at halftime. And Vancouver got in the lead. And unfortunately, you know, we've been celebrating this this run that we've had, not giving up goals in open play.
Yeah.
And you just want a goal to happen from a bit of magic from somebody to really earn it. And unfortunately for us, you know, Sissoko, simple straight ball over the top, really as a center back, whether it's in a four or a three, you really shouldn't get beat by that. You should anticipate it, drop a few yards, either head it or let it bounce if it's way over, and then easy back to the goalkeeper. And unfortunately, Steph came out as well, was a bit erratic, and they knocked it around. And again, I would go with hot weather. It was difficult conditions. Both teams played midweek. The Sounders, 3 games in 8 days. You've got to give the guys credit. Vancouver fought to the death to defend a tie, which meant a lot to this group after on the back of 5 losses. And the Sounders did everything they could to try and get a win.
You know, you can't have everything. We like to think, and sometimes we're spoiled in Seattle because we make the playoffs and we compete for championships. And you forget that it is, for both teams, it's 3 games in 8 days, and it's very hot conditions. And maybe guys weren't as sharp as they would otherwise have been for both teams. But it definitely was an open second half.
Yeah.
I credit Schmetzer and the coaching staff with making the decision to go from three at the back to a four. And really what that allowed them to do was have two center backs deal with big Lucas Cavallini. And then push the fullbacks forward. So, but you're playing two at the back, really. It wasn't a four at the back. It was two at the back. And the field tilted. Seattle had all of the last bit of the game. And frankly, if you go into a week like this and you calculate what's reasonable, you know, and you think getting all three wins, that's phenomenal. And it feels bad because the Sounders had their noses in front at halftime. And maybe on the balance of play overall in the game, yes, they deserve to win, but Vancouver fought and scrapped and earned a couple of chances, a couple of looks at goal, forced mistakes. We can say AB should have taken a different line or Steph shouldn't have come out, but if they don't play that ball and if they're not running in on it, you know, it doesn't happen. For me, a 7-point week coming out of a long break with the absences they have is a great week. Seattle still on top of the Supporters Shield standings, still on top of the West. I'm not crying, but it feels bad because of where they were at halftime.
And Vancouver did play tough, credit to them, but they also wasted more time than people have waited in lines for air conditioners this week. You know, that really, really bugged, I know, myself and the other 25,000 people and the fans in the stadium today here, Danny.
Well, you know, in pregame we talked about how are Vancouver going to score. They're going to score by decent deliveries. That's been their MO. They're good at the cross. That's what happened in the second goal. Again, we can pick apart, you know, the defending. You know, when you see a guy kind of line up that kind of in-swinging cross, as a defender, you've got to open your body up, drop a half a step to your left, and make sure you're in a position to clear it. But again, credit where credit's due. It was a pinpoint cross right in that gap between goalkeeper and back line, and that gap was not very big. And it was a tough one to defend in the end of the day, and it trickled in. But, you know, I look at it this way. Going into what is now, I believe, 8 days until their next game, sometimes a result like this to shake things up a little bit with a little bit of rest, kind of get your juices flowing again for the next game, right? Yes, it would have been great to get 9 points, but look at it from a different perspective, from the psychological perspective to prepare for the next game. Players are going to think, hey, you know, did Brad Smith have the best game today? No, he, you know, mental mistakes, certainly towards the end of the game. Did Josh Atencio come in and play like we were hoping he would play? No, he did not. Did Danny Laver come in and certainly do himself some justice and potentially knocking on the door and has a reasonable conversation with Brian at some point this week and say, hey, look at my performance. I was steady in the middle of the field. I kept the ball ticking over. I didn't try to move too much. We've talked about this with Josh Atencio a little bit. Sometimes there's too much movement, and what you do is you actually enclose your own space versus doing what a Pirlo did so well for so many years. Just a little step to the left, a little step to the right, find your little pocket of space, make other people move. The defense is going to naturally move with the ball. Find your pocket and then play quickly, know what you're going to do. So, you know, I do see Brian having something to work on this week on the practice field. I do feel that players are going to look at their performances and be eager to get back out on the field and actually rectify some of that and get back to what we did.
Yeah.
Last 15 minutes, you got to give the guys credit. Good delivery. I thought Kellen Rowe's delivery from the right-hand side was quality. But there's certainly things to work on, which is a good thing to have going into the second half of the season.
Well, for July 4th, that is going to be the next Sounders match. They do have 8 days, and that's when they will be traveling to Colorado to face the Rapids. For today, it's 2-2 the final, Seattle and Vancouver. And Resilience, Seattle Pride's two-day virtual LGBTQIA+ celebration ends tomorrow. Don't miss your chance to catch musical performances, attend thought-provoking presentations, and more by registering for Sunday's programming at seattlepride.org. We'll take a break. Still have to get to our Emerald Queen Casino play of the match. Have a few additional thoughts on this one before we look ahead to Colorado next Sunday. More coming up on the Sounders FC postgame show on Sports Radio 950. KJ.com.
You're listening to the home of Sounders FC, Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Final score here from Lumen Field, Sounders 2, Whitecaps 2. You're listening here to the Sounders FC postgame show on 950 KJR. Seattle stays unbeaten through their first 11 games, now 7-0-4. But the streak of no goals through the run of play against, that has ended with Vancouver scoring two through the run of play. And now it's time for the Emerald Queen Casino play of the match. We're going to go all the way back to the first half. Raul Ruiz Diaz got the scoring opened.
Will Bruin leading the charge. Christian Roldan making a very good run on one side. Atencio. Brad Smith. Brad Smith in behind, gets his cross in. What a clean goal for the Sounders. Winning possession right at the halfway line. And the ball is worked to that man again, Raul Ruiz Diaz. He is your top scorer in MLS.
The play of the match is presented by Emerald Queen Casino, the official casino partner of Sounders FC. He was alone at number one for most goals in Major League Soccer, and then Chicharito scored about 30 minutes ago in their game. So currently, both Chicharito and Ruiz Diaz both have 9 goals, leading the league. They are tied for the top. And as we kind of finish talking about this game, guys, and once again, Danny Jackson, Wade Weber alongside me, my name is Jackson Feltz, I think the thing that I take away from this game, we talked about things that they can work on in the next week before Colorado coming up next Sunday, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in the postgame show, but we talked about things they can work on. And those 2 goals that Vancouver scored, that's not moments of brilliance that you would have loved to see the streak end on, as we were talking about, right? Those were clear mistakes from the Sounders back line. So when we talk about what can we work on, what specific things as a coach, Wade, do you go into this next week saying, all right, based on those mistakes, we need to work on XYZ?
Well, Jackson, training doesn't work like that, at least not generally. You've got your plan for the week, and it's not that these guys aren't aware maybe of the mistakes they made. It's more reminders before training, some video. At training, you have your plan already. You already know what you're working on, your periodization, so the physical loading on different days. There's a science to it that requires coaches have a view from 10,000 feet. So those individual errors, took a line on the first goal. If you get a chance to watch the replay, the ball's played over the top, and instead of making a run directly at the near post, the shortest distance between 2 points, Jackson, is a straight line.
Right.
And it is all about geometry in defending. You take the shortest distance to get where they're going, and had he done that, he would be in a position to defend that ball. He ran straight parallel to the touchline. which is not the angle that you take it. And AB is 21 years old, and he's not a kid, but he's not as experienced as those around him. So this is one of those moments where you just sit him down and you remind him of some of those fundamentals. For the second goal, for me, Brad Smith was not aggressive enough in closing down the service. If you allow a professional soccer player free service, he doesn't have to be the best pro player. If he's a wide pro, he will bend, you know, a certain percentage of balls into the sweet spot, which is exactly where that ball wound up, between goalkeeper and center back, curving away from the goalkeeper. Right. There's very little. I think Danny pointed out in the last segment, when the ball's in just the right spot, there's very little a center back or a goalkeeper can do about it. If they time the run right, they're going to get behind you. And you just hope that the cross is a fraction off. So I think, yeah, there were some errors, but, you know, it's not as if there haven't been errors in previous games that have been not punished by poor finishing or not relieved by good saves from the goalkeeper. So it think of the first half. Alex Roldan gets stripped. In they go, and Steph makes the save. So, yeah, that was shaky at times at the back. This is not a shaky defensive team. It was it was the end of a long week. Some moments are like, whew, it's okay.
It's 98 degrees out.
Let's take tomorrow off, boys. Let's jump in the ice bath, and we'll get back to work whenever we get back to work.
Yeah, and I think, again, it goes back to some it was small things versus, you know, kind of fundamental foundational elements. It was individual mistakes, as Wade mentioned, closing the ball down. 3 yards is not tight, right? I mean, when you're playing outside back, granted, we shifted then to a four. When you play outside back, you should know exactly who your opponent is. And in my opinion, an outside player there's three types of player. One is a Messi that plays on the right, is left-footed, drops his shoulder, comes inside. You know he's going to do it all day. So you slide a central midfield player over and do your very best, right? We've proven over the years that doesn't really help. You have a Ronaldo in his heyday, right? A player that goes 1v1 and takes it to the end line, takes the player 1v1, you slide your center back over. Or you have a David Beckham. In this case, like the Vancouver guys who talked about their ability to cross, who isn't going to have the ability to take him 1v1 and beat them or come inside. He's going to get a touch, and he's going to line himself up to cross it. And so it's the finger points to a defender, bad defending, and letting the ball go in and trickle in the goal. But as Wade said, you've got to kind of backstop it and go all the way back. Just like that goal, it started from Josh Atencio's interception in the middle of the field,
right,
and it transpires to a nice cross and a nice finish. So same thing defensively. I look at it this way. You know, Brian Schmetz has got some positives that came out of this. They shifted to a 4-2-3-1, it worked very well, right? So now they have the ability to play in a 3 or a 4 and be equally as competitive. They can certainly look at the last 15 minutes and say, this is the way we needed to play. Wade mentioned it at halftime. There wasn't enough on the left-hand side and balance as there was in the right. The switch was on. They need to recognize that a little bit earlier. Josh Atencio, again, can look at himself as an 18-year-old kid, is Danny Lever came in and did some of the fundamental things well. And Brian will and should stick with an Atencio. You can't throw him in for 60 minutes and pull him out and that's it, right? Because he was a little bit shaky. He's coming back after a few months out, right? He really only played, as Wade and I were chatting, the three of us were chatting during the game. He's only played 2 games,
right?
You know, let's not hype him up too much. Let's give the kid a chance to settle in. But there are some things that he can watch on video as well that can help improve his game. Don't overcomplicate it. You don't have to do too much. You don't have to be the winner in running on a field, even though you will naturally cover a lot of distance. It's all about angles, as Wade said. Angles of when to receive the ball. Open your body up. Take it on your left. Play it with your right. Just keep it ticking over. And again, it's those small things, right? And I think that's why this staff, including Wade, it's so deep. And there are so many quality people around Brian to help these players get through it. And again, I truly believe 7 points, as Wade said, out of 9 is a really good takeaway from this week, especially with the third game that went the way it went. Give them credit. They grounded out. They got a 2-2 result in hot weather with a Vancouver team that was scrapping to get anything out of this game. So it is glass half full going into a 4th of July game in Colorado, again, where the teams will come after them. Don't forget, people want to come here and perform. It's not they're sort of laid down and just let the Sounders come through. They want to perform and get a result in front of now what is a crowd that they have not had down in Salt Lake.
And you'll have it on July 7th, the next Sounders' next home match against Houston. And that match will have 100% here at Lumen Field. That's the news this last week, is that it will be back at 100%. So that is fantastic news. And they are the hunted as opposed to the hunter, for sure. Teams want to take down the team that's won the Western Conference four of the last 5 years. Absolutely. But certainly, as you guys pointed out, there's things... Maybe not. I used the wording things to work on in practice. Not necessarily things to work on, but just those reminders to key on. And thankfully, you have an amazing head coach in Brian Schmetzer who knows how to put an arm around a guy, and or whether it's that or another form, he knows how to work with those guys.
Oh, kick out the backside.
Exactly, to deliver those reminders, however you got to do it. So certainly this coaching staff, including Wade, they have things to go get for this week and remind players of, and also get them ready for Colorado coming up on Sunday. Because you can tune in next Sunday, July 4th, when your Seattle Sounders head on the road for a Western Conference showdown with the Colorado Rapids. Watch the match on Joe TV, stream on Prime Video, or listen right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR AM. And for Spanish language, check out El Rey 1360. Next Sunday's broadcast is presented by Virginia Mason Franciscan Health, official partner in health of Sounders FC. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about that big match coming up next Sunday, 8 days from now, but here at Lumen Field. 2-2, the final score between the Sounders and Whitecaps. More next on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Yes. You're listening to the home of Sounders FC, Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Seattle Sounders stay unbeaten tonight here at Lumen Field. A 2-2 draw with Vancouver Whitecaps FC. They advanced to 7-0-4 on the season. Unfortunately, both of Vancouver's goals in the second half come in the run of play. So that great streak we were talking about for the first 10 games, not allowing a goal in the run of play, well, that ended in the 48th or 49th minute as Vancouver scored. But with that draw, again, the Sounders still hold on to the top spot in the Western Conference. And Sounder fans, we have a game coming up next Sunday. It's going to be against the Colorado Rapids in Colorado, so the Sounders will travel on the road for this Western Conference bout. You can listen right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR next Sunday for that match. And guys, as we look ahead to this team kind of going on the road, we spent the last segment talking about what the reminders can be, what they can work on here over the next week. But, you know, Danny, I want to go back to the comment you made about keeping Atencio in the lineup. So with Atencio in there, do you make any other changes? Do you just stick with what you saw that left the team, like should be noted, leading 1-0 at the half today?
Well, you know, like we said, I think it's 8 days until our next game. Certainly enough time to get the legs back underneath them. I think Atencio will grow and learn from today's game. Don't forget, he hasn't played in a long time. As much as practice and practice games and running after practice gets a little bit of core fitness, it's nothing like playing in 95 degree heat against a team that's scrapping and fighting, and you're still trying to find your mark on this team as well. So, and you could get that sense from him, right? He wasn't demanding the ball. You know, Wade and I were pointing one example out, went to the center back, and if it was João Paulo who just demand that 2 yard ball to his feet, and then he'd be the one that would distribute out to the left and keep the play going. Kind of Josh just kind of jogged over there and let, I think, Shane O'Neill play out to the left. So he's going to build in some confidence, and that will come with games. And, you know, what, Brian knows it better than anybody. You just got to let these kids, give him a chance. You know, he didn't make any major errors. He can sharpen up a few things. He helped certainly create the goal. He got some minutes underneath his belt, which he'll build on. Again, other players came in as subs and got good minutes and, again, gave Brian confidence and trust in his bench. And so, you know, Colorado is a good team, right? Robin Frazier has done a wonderful job there. I played with Robin in Colorado when I was a young kid, and I don't think there's a nicer and better person in the locker room. He is a really one of the good guys, and I'm just really happy to see what he's doing with Colorado. He went in there, he stabilized the franchise, he's turned it around. I think they're in fourth spot right now. Certainly a big change up from what they were 2 years ago, fighting, you know, to stay off the bottom of the Western Conference. So, you know, 4th of July game in Colorado is always a big event. Fireworks off before and after the game. It'll be a fun one for the Sounders going in there.
It's interesting. I'm not sure how many listeners actually know that since 1996, the first year of Major League Soccer, there's always been a 4th of July game. 3rd, 5th, it's whatever it is. Colorado gets to host. I'm not sure why that happened in the first place. But from 96, they've got massive crowds. They used to play in Mile High Stadium. Now they're out in Commerce City.
And it feels like it's been Seattle at Colorado for
quite often,
years.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're a solid team. Some, like, retread guys a little bit. Diego Rubio, who played pretty successfully at Sporting Kansas City Michael Barrios, who Sounders fans would probably know more as an FC Dallas player. You know, they have guys like that in intermixed with some homegrowns, and Kellen Acosta, again, mostly with Dallas, but has come in. So it's a Robin is, and I played against Robin a long time ago. but that personality he has kind of has translated throughout the staff. I know Chris Little has now joined their staff, used to be the Tacoma Defiance head coach, coached in the Sounders Academy, and is knows our team as well as anyone, has been to first team preseasons, and so he may be getting giving them intel of some sort. I'm not sure what Chris has to offer, but it's going to be a tough match. I think these 8 days are going to be important for the team to get the legs right, let the heat pass. It's my understanding
as I wipe my head, Monday's
supposed to be especially toasty, and things will get back to normal, and frankly it's a long season, so 11 games, right? You got 23 to go, right? You don't win a championship right now, and no team knows that like the Sounders.
That's exactly right. And for the Sounders right now, unbeaten through 11, the record in Major League Soccer to start a season is 12. So if you can keep it going to Colorado, that would be fantastic. That match is going to be on July 4th, coming up next Sunday, 6 p.m. broadcast. Our pre-match show will start at 5:30 right here on KJR. And then it'll have a midweek match after that, and they're going to be hosting the Houston Dynamo in that midweek match July 7th right here at Lumen Field. And guess what, Sounder fans? Lumen Field back to 100% capacity, and Sounder fans seize single match tickets for the remainder of the 2021 regular season. Go on sale this Wednesday, June 30th. Don't miss your chance to catch some of the best matches of the year in person, including the highly anticipated doubleheader match featuring both OL Reign and Sounders FC taking on their Portland rivals. Visit soundersfc.com/tickets to learn more. That will be a fun day there on August 29th. But again, it's going to be next Sunday for Sounders at Colorado, 5:30 pre-match, 6 o'clock kickoff for the Sounders in Commerce City facing the Rapids. And of course, listen to KJR this Tuesday, 7 o'clock, for Sounders Weekly. We will review this match, also the RSL one. We have a lot to talk about from this three-game week where the Sounders are able to get 7 points from these three games. And back here at Lumen Field once again, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thanks to Danny Jackson and Wade Weber, Terry Ryan here on site, Curtis Crabtree back in the studio. Great call from Keith Costigan, Steve Zakawani. And thank you all for listening again. We will talk to you on Tuesday for Sounders Weekly at 7 o'clock, and then Colorado coming up next Sunday. It's all right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR.
You've been listening to the Sounders FC Postmatch Show on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR. Sounders FC Soccer is brought to you by Seattle Pride. Resilience, Seattle Pride's two-day virtual LGBTQIA+ celebration ends tomorrow. Register for the event's final day at seattlepride.org. Tune in on Sunday, July 4th, when your Seattle Sounders take on the Colorado Rapids at 6 p.m.